Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. I'm having sound issues. My AirPods are not connecting to my phone. So those who are on Blog Talk, the audio is going to, well, just put it lightly, horrible. So inshallah, a message will go out. To go to Vimeo.com, V-I-M-E-O.com, where this broadcast is going out live. I have no other technical explanation for it, but I can know, based on history, the audio for Blog Talk is going to be very bad. But a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ramadan is the month of patience. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقيل للذين تقوا ماذا أنزل ربكم قالوا خير للذي أحسنوا في هذه الدنيا حسنة والدار الآخرة خير ولا نعمة دار المتقين صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. And this is a reading from the Quran, the Surah, I believe it's 31, inshallah, 31. And it is, no, pardon me, subhanAllah, Surah Al-Nahl, that is 16. And an expression of it is, and it will be said to those who were regardful of Allah in this life, what did your Lord send down? They will say, that which is most excellent. For those who are excellent in this world is excellence, and the home of the hereafter is excellent. And how excellent is the home of those who practice regardfulness of Allah. Sadaqallahul Azim. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. A report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says, that the Prophet said, take up good deeds only as much as you are able. He's actually discouraging being extreme in your efforts to try to do good. Only take up those things that you are able to do, because what is loved by Allah is the deed that is done most consistently, even though it's small. So the Prophet said, and we'll complete reading through, said, take up good deeds only as much as you are able, for the best deeds are those done regularly, even if they are small. Another report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace, prayers and peace be upon him, he said, do not belittle any good deed, even meeting your brother with a cheerful face. That is, all good deeds, no matter how small they are or seem to be by our definition, those small deeds are great deeds with Allah. And that is the topic today. Small things here are big things there. Here being this life, what we have right now, meaning that we exist, we're breathing, we're alive, we're here, we're conscious. That's here. That's what we have now. And we are living and doing and acting every day, every moment of the day. And those deeds are piling up in different ways. And, of course, you have good deeds and you have bad deeds. And those things that are good deeds that seem to be small in this life, they're big in the life that comes hereafter. And those deeds that seem to be big in this life, they become small in the life hereafter, depending on, again, the quality and the character of the deed itself. So the focus is small things here are big things there. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah alayh, he reports this in one of his books, that a man will be brought on the day of judgment with his good and bad deeds of equal weight, meaning that the scale is going to be set up, and when all is measured out, the good deeds are going to balance out the bad deeds. They're going to be exactly the same. And no good deed he would have at that moment, he would have no good deed to tip his scale on the behalf of the good deeds. Meaning that it's all, everything he's done is run out, the deeds are balanced out, and he can't find a good deed that can tip the scales on the side of the good. The man will go through the people, and whenever he asks someone to give him one good deed, everyone will refuse and say, I fear that my scales would be lighter. I need it more than you do. He will despair. And then a man will say to him, what is it that you're looking for? And the man will say, one good deed. I have passed so many people who have 1,000 good deeds, but they have not given me one. The other man will say, well, I have met Allah the Exalted, and I only had one good deed on my record. I don't believe that's going to help me in the least. So go ahead, take it as a gift from me to you. Joyfully, the man set off, and Allah says to him, what have you done? He says, speaking to the man, and the man will reply, what happened? The man is explaining where he got the one good deed, right? And he says, such and such thing happened. And Allah the Exalted will call the man who gave him the one good deed and say to him, my generosity is more vast than your generosity. Take your brother's hand and enter into paradise. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the core message is one good deed could be the totality of your salvation. One good deed could make all the difference as to whether you go to Jannah or go to Jahannam. One good deed. The question is, which one? Which one? I think about the beautiful reality of usually, mashallah, the hilal, citing the hilal at the beginning of Ramadan. There's always some ikhtilaf. There's always some difference of opinion. And I thought, no, you didn't see it. No, you couldn't have saw it. You didn't enjoy it. Look, but everybody is told, look for it. Look for it. So in the end, whether the one agrees with the other or the other disagrees with the one, the point is that everybody's looking for it. That's the important thing. And also with Laylatul Qadr, which also follows on that same difference of opinion, because depending on when that sighting takes place, when it's confirmed, then that's going to have a lot to do with the establishment of Laylatul Qadr. But how do we get to a place where we don't actually know when Laylatul Qadr is? Well, the Prophet came out with the intention to tell the people that were gathered when the Laylatul Qadr was, but there was some ikhtilaf, there was some disagreement, some wrangling going on. And he said, he forgot it. He said, I came out to tell you what it's going to be, then I came out to the wrangling and I forgot it. But it's somewhere between, it's the odd nights of the last 10 nights. So what does that mean? Once we understand that the Laylatul Qadr, how important, how significant it is, it's one night that's better than 1,000 months. And whoever gets the blessing in that, they get a purification that you can get at no other time. So even though there's disagreement as to where it is, and I believe, mashallah, that Allah left it that way so that nobody can say that it is only that day. Because you know how people do. It's like, oh, okay, well, it's only on the 27th night. So that's the night I'm going to come. It's one of the odd nights of the last 10 nights, and based on when the sighting of the moon is, which Allah knows best, you don't know when the even nights or when the odd nights are. So what does that mean for the last 10 nights in our ibadah? Like, you might want to hit all of them, if I put it in urban talk, you know. You might want to be there for all of them, because then you're pretty sure that you're not going to miss it, inshallah, in the last 10. So I'm saying this to say also, I believe it is a part of Allah's way to tell us how one good deed can make a difference in your final judgment, but you never know which one. And since you don't know which one, then you're going to continuously do good deeds in the hope that you're just fortunate enough to do that one good deed that settles the whole matter for you. Think about it. I know none of you have ever bought a lottery ticket, not even when it was up to 100 million, you know what I'm saying? You know, well, that you have never said or thought. But the point is that there are people who, they buy that and they have 1 in 100 billion chance of winning. But they're willing to spend that. And some of them think they get it figured out that, well, yeah, I'll spend 10,000 on it. And then they get 10,000 chances and it hit, I got 100 million. That's called the stupid tax. That's what the lottery tickets is. It's a stupid tax, right? They're going to get that money some kind of way. Well, let's get it from the stupid people. Tell them that we're going to get that money from. But no sense in talking to you about things you never thought about. So now here in the, I'll stay with the analogy, but in the best intent, here's the lottery of good deeds. The lottery of good deeds that you're in control of. All you have to do is just continuously do good deeds. And you have the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to favor you in such a way that one of those good deeds will be sufficient to tip the scales in your final judgment. So how often are you going to do good deeds? You just got to keep doing them. And this is what it adds to the hadith, where it says, the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves most is the thing that's done most consistently, even if it's small. So just be consistently in the habit of doing good deeds and even the small ones, because as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't belittle any good deeds. Oh, man, I got to do some big. No. Little good deeds. Because what's small in this world is big in the world that comes after this life. I'd like to read you a story. I call it the parable of the pebbles. It was a beautiful day, and the young man was walking along the path admiring the wonderful scenery. He had embarked on his journey to the rich city that lay beyond the three valleys. Many people in his village would talk about this city, but no one who had gone to it ever returned to confirm the stories of its greatness. When the young man arrived at the first valley, it was a picture to behold. The grass was much greener than the grass in his old village, which was now a day's walk behind him. The valley had a small stream running through it, and there were many flowers on its banks. And they were pretty flowers, bright pinks and reds with fantastic fragrances. He sat down and opened his knapsack and took out some bread and cheese and enjoyed his simple lunch in these beautiful surroundings. When he ate, he wondered about the rich city that he was going to. After his lunch, he got up and continued on his long journey. As night fell, he reached the edge of the second valley, but it was too dark for him to appreciate its beauty. So he opened his knapsack, took out his blanket, and settled down for the night. As he slept, he dreamed about the rich city and how much better his life was going to be moving there. It was a long and pleasant dream. When the sun rose the next morning, he could hear the chorus of birds in nearby hedges and trees. The young man stretched out and put away his bedding and let his eyes drink in the splendor of the second valley. And it was more fertile and colorful than the first valley. He walked to the edge of the small river and saw that there were fish in it. So he caught one for his breakfast. After he cooked and ate the fish, the young man went across the river and continued his journey. A few miles down the path, he saw an old man asleep on the side of the path. He asked the man if he needed any help. The old man was very weak, but he gave the young man a short reply. I am beyond help, but I'll give you some advice, though. Before you cross the next river, collect as many stones and pebbles as you can. The young man was puzzled by his advice and asked the old man why, but he couldn't get an answer because the old man had fallen back into a deep sleep. The young man continued his journey. As he walked, he wondered, why should he collect stones and pebbles? As he thought of the possible reasons, he noticed two or three little pebbles on his path, so he bent down and picked them up and put them in his pocket. Since it was a long road, every now and then he would pick up a few more pebbles. His pocket began to get heavy, and he had no idea how much further he had to walk, so he decided that one pocket full of stones and pebbles was enough. He didn't want to tire himself out by carrying too many more. Hours later, he reached the third valley, even more beautiful and abundant growth, and there was a wide river running through it. The river was not very deep, perhaps waist high, but the current looked very strong. The young man braced himself, crossed the river. He struggled against the current, almost slipping on two occasions. Had he done so, he would surely have been washed down the river and drowned. He finally clambered up on the bank of the other side of the river. He rested for a while and then continued his journey. After an hour or so, he put his hand in his pocket and realized he still had his pebbles. He pulled them out from his pocket and could not believe his eyes, that they had all turned into precious jewels. The young man wished he had filled all of his pockets and his knapsack with more stones and pebbles. Imagine how rich he would be now. But it was pointless to go all the way back to cross the river again. He would waste too much time, and he could even drown if he tried to cross the river again. So he traveled on and finally reached the rich city, only to find that there were people there that were very rich, but there were also many people there that were very poor because they failed to heed the advice of the old man. So many interpretations can be applied to this parable of the pebbles, but I just want to touch on a couple of things for our meaning today. So what is the rich city? The rich city is life after death. In your reading of the Quran, you should find, I mean, if you look and find it, and I'm saying notice it. Many times when we think about the hereafter, we only think about Jannah. But the hereafter has both possibilities. Life after death, you have the possibility of Jannah, and you also have the possibility of Jahannam. You have the possibility of being extremely rich, or you have the possibility of being extremely poor. And that all has to do with taking or not taking the advice of the old man. And so the river that was crossed, we can see that as the separation between this life and the next. Because once you cross that river, there's no coming back. And you only will have with you, what you took with you in the course of your path. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said there are three that go with a man throughout his life. Two of them stay when he passes away, and one of them continues with him. And it's spoken of as his wealth, as his family, and his actions. First thing to go or to leave him is his wealth. The next thing that is always the same, we're seeing it in the scale of values, the way that men, quote-unquote, human beings, see it. Wealth, before we die, it always seems to be the biggest thing. How many families are lost? How many marriages are lost in the pursuit of wealth? You know, how many of those people who are extremely wealthy have some of the craziest divorces, right? Because wealth in some way was put before that. And then human beings, however, having that value on wealth, but there's also those who do have family, they put their family well above their wealth, well above their wealth. Their wealth is about their family. Their wealth is for their family. It's all about the family. It's not about the wealth. So this scale is seeming to me to say the values of a believer is, okay, wealth is valuable, but more valuable than that and more significant than that is my family. But then when you die, the family doesn't go with you, the wealth doesn't go with you, the third one continues with you. It's your deeds. Your deeds go with you across that river. Your deeds go with you into that life after this life. It depends on the quality and the character of those deeds, what your state will be in the rich city. Will you be rich or will you be poor? Will it be Jannah or will it be Jahannam? In this take on it, the old man is the revelation itself. The revelation is always talking to us. The revelation is always telling us. The revelation is always telling us this is the reality. It's very important, mashallah, may Allah bless us, to accept it and treat it and embrace it as more real then everything that we think is real, everything that we feel, see, smell, taste, hear, that makes us say, that's real, that's real. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals is more real than that. And when we accept it as real, as bona fide reality, then we will act on it. And when we act on it, that world that we can't see, that rich city that we have not yet arrived, but we all believe is there, is being built up for us. You know, this world right now, they have this what's it called, metaverse, right? Metaverse, where you build these virtual towns, these virtual cities, right? And you can go into the houses and you can look at the art and you can meet people and entertain people in virtual reality. And the people build up these cities and towns as a, you know, whatever, as an avatar. Let's move on. And, but that is a metaphor. That is a metaphor for the metaphysical reality. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for every deed that you do, a bird flies off from you to have provisions for you in the life that comes after this life. You do the deed, and the bird goes, okay, well, I'm going to stock that up for you. That's what it does. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day they were given a lamb, and the Prophet always gave away. Whatever he received, he always gave it away. And so they slaughtered the lamb, and he told Aisha, give it away. Give it away. He slaughtered it and give it away. So the Prophet left and came back later, and the Prophet asked her, he said, what do we have? She said, we don't have anything left except this lamb shank. And the Prophet said, no, we have everything except this lamb shank. Give it away. So if we believe that that's really what is happening, then you act like it. Give it away. Why are you giving it away? So I can have it when I really need it. See, so if we believe, also in terms of the temple, and this ilm al-yaqeen, we have yet to get to that. This ilm al-yaqeen, this certain knowledge that is certain. When we have ilm al-yaqeen with regard to this reality after death, and it's real, then you act in this life respecting that reality. That's a part of taqwa. That's a part of taqwa. And in your reading, you should have seen where Allah said in the Quran, he said, wa taqunar. Not that you have to, if you respect, don't just believe in the Jannah. Be regardful of the Jannah. Be regardful of hell. Hell is just as real as Jannah. It's easy for us to talk about Jannah. Yes, subhanAllah, inshaAllah, travel peace of Billah, inshaAllah, may Allah give you the Jannah. You probably need to add and protect you from hell. Because they are both real. They are both a part of what this parable is describing as life after death and people's condition in the rich city. And to add to this, this revelation, the old man's revelation, I want us to also understand this, a part of taqwa. Part of taqwa, mashallah, alhamdulillah, inshallah, may Allah bless us to get it. And that is, there's so many, what is it, 60 or 70 thousand thoughts per day, human beings, 60 or 70,000 thoughts per day, and 90% of them are repetitive, negative, and wrong. Just look at that number. 90% of them are negative, repetitive, and wrong. My emphasis right now is constantly coming through, constantly coming through. And without respecting for that particular data point, the fact is that we all have thoughts that we are and should be ashamed of. And just in case you don't think you have some thoughts you should be ashamed of, here's the question. Do you ever have any thoughts that you don't want anybody to find out? You just said that in your head. You didn't say it out loud. You said it in your head. Now, what if people heard you say that? What would they think of you? And the prophet said, what is sin? We prefer the term shortcoming. What is sin? He says, sin is whatever you don't want people to find out. So how many sinful thoughts per day do we actually have? That's just on this side of it. But with regard to the things that we have been asked to and invited to do as Muslims, and we deny doing it, and we deny it in ways that betray a measure of disbelief. Oh, I ain't going to do that because that's a thought. But taqwa is to guard ourselves against that. Taqwa is to guard ourselves against that. This is what Ramadan is about. La'alakum tattaqun, that we may come to that level of consciousness. So it's an inward guarding consciousness, such that when our negative thoughts come through, when our sinful thoughts come through, immediately, astaghfirullah. You have to say it out loud to yourself. You said it inside, you can say that inside. Astaghfirullah. So, yeah, you'll be doing it all day. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. And this is how, when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked for forgiveness 70 times a day. Can't you see how that's not really hard? It strikes you as, oh man, 70, you think you make 70 rakahs a day. No, all you have to do is, nastaghfirullah, one. Nastaghfirullah, two. Nastaghfirullah, three. Here comes the thought, nastaghfirullah. Here comes the thought, nastaghfirullah. And taqwa is saying, I got to catch that. Astaghfirullah. You just have to do it. That's taqwa. Being conscious, to preserve ourselves from that. Because if something gets through, to speak of something, we'll say in a moment, inshallah, small things becoming big things, I'm speaking at this moment about what we think, but also what we say. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if one promises me what's between his tongue is what's between his legs, I will promise him Jannah. I will promise him paradise. If we can discipline our tongue and discipline our desires in such a way that they are consistent with what Allah and the Prophet, peace be upon him, expects from us, then inshallah, we have by that the guarantee of Jannah. But saying all of that, with regard to good deeds and the value and the power of good deeds, the pebbles in that story are the good deeds done in this life that will be redeeming for us in the next. Small things that have this redeeming power for us when it makes all the difference in the world. And to speak of these good deeds within Ramadan, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every action of the son of Adam shall be multiplied. Every action shall be multiplied. Good deeds. Well, I have to say, here's the order for how deeds are weighed. If you intend to do a good deed, or let's go with the bad. If you intend to do a bad deed and don't do it, you get credit for doing a good deed because you kept yourself back from the bad deed. And if you intend to do a bad deed and you do it, you only get charged one bad deed. This is God's accounting. One bad deed. All right? If you intend to do a good deed and fail to do it, you get a credit for doing the good deed. But if you intend to do the good deed, if you intend to do the good deed and do it, now here, this report gives you, that good deed will be multiplied by 10 times its value. So when you intend to do a good deed and do the good deed, you get 10 times the credit, up to 700 times. Can you see the little small pebbles becoming the good? One small, is it a good deed? Somebody said, brother, can you pass me a napkin? Yes, it is. Can you pass me a napkin? You pass the napkin. Good deed. Good deed, how much? 10 times, up to 700 times. Somebody says, brother, can you give me some water? Oh, man, get it yourself, man. What's wrong with your legs? You missed that opportunity. It's an opportunity to do good. 10 to 700 times. That's in every day. And it's not just a Muslim. It's the son of Adam. That's not just for Muslims. Maybe you can start thinking about why it seems sometimes Christians is ahead of some Muslims. Yeah, work with that one. Because so yeah, oh, them old church people, them old Holy Ghost, Holy Roller, yeah, right. And they be rolling too. It's my Holy Roller right there. Why? It's good deeds being multiplied. Allah didn't say for who it's not. He said for everybody, son of Adam, every son of Adam. But then, now, in terms of that good deed, then Allah says, with the exception of fasting, this is not just Ramadan. Ramadan is not the only time that Muslims fast. So anytime you fast, you get this multiple, right? Because fasting is for Allah. Fasting is for Allah. So he says, with the exception of fasting, which belongs to me, and I reward it accordingly. I reward it accordingly, meaning that I got it. Anybody say, man, I need to get sunglasses. Don't worry about it. I got it. But you didn't ask me how much it cost. Hey, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards his believers who fast. I got it. Now, imagine all the good deeds being done in the month of Ramadan. You can't do the math. You can't do the math. Well, let me add this as we close this portion of the khutbah. Ramadan is a month like no other. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, if you don't think about somebody's business and pay for it, all the rest of it, that's the truth about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he was asked about that, he was doing so much of ibadah. He said, "Well, you've been forgiving your sins in the past and then in the future." He said, "Well, shouldn't I be grateful?" That's so huge ibadah. Wind. You go to a field and the wind blows and the pollen goes and the pollen causes things to grow. That's all because of the fecundating wind. So the Father was more generous than the fecundating wind. It's like give. That's the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in terms of that, in this month of Ramadan, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was treating that reality like, man, this is the time to get it. You know, in the hood, they talk about them bags. Come on now, get them bags in Ramadan, man. If you're serious about it, then it's good. If you believe it's real, then it's about those good deeds. So in terms of multiplying those good deeds in the month of Ramadan, there's nothing that compares to it. So all these things that we're looking for, but Ramadan has boundaries. It begins and it ends. It's time for us to take advantage of what Allah has offered us and blessed us to come to in this month of fasting. Amen. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. To speak of the great power that is in Ramadan, the great blessing that makes it a month like no other. There's a report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It said, two men from Bali came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had become Muslim together, but one of them used to strive harder than the other. The one who used to strive harder went out to fight in the cause of Allah and was martyred. The other one stayed for a year longer. Then he passed away. Talha bin Ubaidullah, radiallahu anhu, is the one who's giving the report. So Talha said, I saw in a dream that I was at the gates of paradise, and I saw these two men. Someone came out of paradise and admitted the one who had died last. When he came out, then he came out and admitted the one who had been martyred the year before. Then he came back to me and said, go back, for your time has not yet come. So he's at the gates of paradise, and so if the angel was going to take him, he would have went in. But then this is in his dream. So the next morning, Talha told the people about his dream, and they were amazed. The news of that dream reached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they told him the story. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, why are you so amazed at that? They said, O Messenger of Allah, the first one was the one who strove harder, then he was martyred, but the other one was admitted to paradise before him. The Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he not live a year longer? They said, yes. And did not Ramadan come and he fasted and offered such and such prayers during the year? They said, yes. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the difference between those two is greater than the difference between heaven and earth. This is the month that we are in, a month like no other. And this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you want to know the real loser, you know, and this is why they got that loser, you know, that's what. The Prophet said, if you want to know the real loser, it's the one who comes to the month of Ramadan and is not forgiven. You go to the whole month of Ramadan and you don't earn forgiveness of Ramadan, you're a loser. And here's the thing about Wal Asr. It comes immediately to mind. Wal Asr, innal insana lafi khusr. They're the losers. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat. Wa tawassaw bil-haq wa tawassaw bis-sabr. God is saying, it's by the time. That's how you lose. Clock has been ticking a day. Those of us that have gone by this month, they're gone. Can't get none of the good deed benefits from this morning for the deeds you didn't do. We didn't do. All right? And now the clock is ticking, so now we still have time. We still have, I always want to be sure, believe me, even if I say you is us. All right? It's an opportunity, it's a chance to pick up some pebbles. It's an opportunity to do some good deeds. That's just talking about today. Then we have so many more blessed days in Ramadan. Come on, man. Come on, who wants to be a millionaire? I got to figure out some other kind of way to put that in the mix, right? Who wants to be a mutaqid? I don't know. Who wants to be in Jannah? And what you do is just keep picking up, keep stacking. See, in this world, they talk about stacking. Stack some pebbles, man. Stack some good deeds. And the iftar, talking about the incapacity to measure Allah's grace and blessings in Ramadan. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when someone provides for the faster, the breaking of their fast, and that's not just giving them one day to water, that's feeding them. Oh, shit. Then that one that provides, they get all. Come on, can't you hear that truck backing out? Do, 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 do. Dumping all those good deeds, not for the whole crew, that's just for one. I have a tendency to do some good deeds. Tendency. I mean, wouldn't my package be a pretty good package? Wouldn't you think that'd be a pretty good package?
I hope you do.
Let me get sure. Get them beads, man. So when you provide for the Islam, then all of the deeds, remember the multiples, all of the deeds of the ones who break their fast and consume and have their needs met by food that you provide, all their deeds come to you without diminishing their deeds at all. Those are the blessed opportunities in Ramadan. So you may want to look at the calendar in there and see if there's some blank spots. But, you know, New Africa's already made it clear that it's not going to be rocking the way that it is all the other years. MashaAllah, we have our blessed soul and brother Rashid Ali, who was really a big part of that engine that it was and is New Africa. But his spirit is still there. But at the same time, you know, the opportunities are less in this venue that you can still do it on your own. Otherwise, but to draw towards a conclusion here, just like those who fail to heed the advice of the old man, the advice of the old man also comes in whispers. You have a moment, something is insinuated to you. You have an intuition, you have an impulse. And Quran says, whoever follows their impulse to do good, they shall have their reward with their Lord. So we have these impulses to do good. Sometimes we do follow up on them, sometimes we don't. That's the picking up the pebbles or not picking up the pebbles. That's taking the advice of the old man or not taking the advice of the old man. So taqwa is to condition us to be in the habit of, it's a good deed, do it. It's a good deed, do it. But the warning of the, well, with the advice of the prophet, admonition of the prophet is that that you get tired. Allah never gets tired. So do whatever it is that you are able to do. But what Allah loves most is what you do consistently, even if it is small. So don't try to do every good deed that comes to your mind. You're going to hurt yourself. That's not the plan. And the prophet warned against that. But the small deed, the little pebble good deed, just be in the habit of doing that. That's what our invitation is. And to speak of, wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr, that is time. Time is running out. Ramadan, the clock is ticking for a few days. And when the month of Ramadan is gone, we have to say goodbye, quote unquote. Assalamu alaikum. See you next year, inshallah. Right? But when it's gone, well, understand what I'm saying? The sale is over. The sale is over. It is tijara. It is a bargain that we make as an opportunity that we're supposed to take. But by the time, if you don't take it in the right way, you're the loser. And just like in the story, there's no going back. You can't go back. You can't pull back any of those Ramadan days, hours, moments, et cetera, opportunities. Can't pull it up. They're gone. Can't go back across the river. You can't return to life after death. Once you're in the city, that's what you've got. And the Quran speaks about that condition. And it is It says in 32:10-13, I'm just going to read the expression of it. It says, and they say, what? When we lie hidden and lost in the earth, shall we indeed be in a creation renewed? Nay, they deny the meeting with their Lord. Say, the angels of death, the angel of death put in charge of you will duly take your souls. Then shall you be brought back to your Lord. And it says, if you only could see the guilty ones, those who didn't heed the advice of the old man. If you only could see the guilty ones, they'll bend low their heads before their Lord, saying, our Lord, we have seen and we have heard. Now then, send us back to the world, and we will work righteousness, for now we do indeed believe. Allah goes on and says, if we had so willed, we could certainly have brought every soul to true guidance. But the word from me will come true. I will fill hell with jinn and men all together. So that reality, ilm al-yaqeen, that reality, when we're in that reality, there's no going back. And all we have is what came with us, those deeds that followed us into the grave and into the time of the judgment. And you can say, now I see, now I hear. Now, no, you were supposed to see and hear before you die, in the opportunities that you have. And there's no opportunity like Ramadan. Ramadan is where you can wipe the whole slate clean. Is that not meaningful? It's a chance to start brand new. What other way of life has that opportunity? Allah says, this day have I perfected for you your way of life and have completed my favor to you. Nobody can do favors like Allah does favors. And al-Islam is the perfect favor. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Don't think that because you're a Muslim, oh, I'm good, I'm straight. I don't, never, man. This person can offer me $10 million to eat a ham sandwich. I ain't going to do it. Oh, okay. That's good. But what about all the other things that we're supposed to be doing? So, dear beloved brothers and sisters, just as one good deed could be the totality of your salvation, then we should all, and we don't know which one, the reverse is also true. How many deeds do we do, thinking them to be small, but they could be the source of our eternal damnation? Two reports from the Prophet, peace be upon him, and we'll be done. It says, the Prophet said, verily a servant of mine may, pardon me, a servant may speak a word pleasing to Allah, thinking nothing of it, yet by it Allah raises his status by a degree. Verily, a servant may speak a word displeasing to Allah, thinking nothing of it, but it plummets him into hell. So some little small thing that we say, we don't think is a big thing. But with Allah, that's what took you to hell. Alhamdulillah, the mercy of Allah, we feel in this report that I conclude with. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will distinguish a man from my ummah, the Prophet, before all of creation, meaning he'll set him out and say, look at this man over here, on the day of judgment. And then 99 scrolls will be laid out in front of him. And each scroll will be as far as the eye can see. Then he will ask the man, do you deny any of this? It's the record of his deeds of his entire life. Do you deny any of this? Have those records wronged you in any way? And the man will reply, my Lord, no. Allah will ask, do you have any excuse to present? And the man will reply, my Lord, no. And Allah will then say, well, do you have one good deed with us? That, and you shall not be wronged today. He said, pardon me. It says, you do have one good deed with us. Just like the one good deed, he said, you do have one good deed that you did. And you shall not be wronged today. And then Allah will bring out a card on which is written, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. And Allah will say, now bring me your scales. So the man is going to bring his scales, right? Bring me your scales. And the man will ask, my Lord, what good is this card going to do next to all this? And he will reply, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you shall not be wronged. And the scrolls will be put on one plate of the scale, and the card will be put on another plate of the scale, and the scrolls will be light, and the card will be heavy. And this is because there is nothing heavier than the name of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Oh Allah, we ask of you, oh Allah, you are the one, the only, the self-sufficing master who begets not, nor are you begotten. And there is none equal or comparable to you. You forgive us our sins, for you are the oft-forgiving, most merciful. اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على أهلك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما استطعت أبو لك بنعماتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. O Allah, you are our Lord. There is no object of worship but you. You created us and we are your servants and we are trying our best to keep our oath of faith to you and to seek to live in the hope of your promise. We seek refuge in you from our evil deeds, and we acknowledge your blessings upon us and our shortcomings. So forgive us, for none but you can forgive our shortcomings. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Wa akimus salat. لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله. Make our road straight and even leave no space between the shaitan and dividers. Our road is on straight. I'll have 23. Oh, round one. Apologies for the terrible audio. Not only from